out among the outlaws, he said, "Come, follow me." People from all walks of life since have been becoming outlaws.
Welcome to Becoming Outlaws podcast. It engages celebrities, scholars, diverse voices, and candid conversations about following Jesus, defying societal norms, and exploring profound and often not so profound questions of faith. Today's topic is doomsday. What is doomsday? When I was a kid, that would be like if my dad found out I didn't take the trash out or something. But this is referring to the end of all mankind by some sort of catastrophe or catastrophes, plural. You may know from history, or maybe if you saw the recent movie Oppenheimer, where J. Robert Oppenheimer quotes actually a Hindu scripture after he helped create the atomic bomb. He said, "I am death and have become the destroyer of worlds." Over 110,000 Japanese were killed when the U.S. dropped atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki in 1945. They didn't show them the reels of tests in the deserts. They didn't drop a warning bomb out in the ocean near Japan. They dropped these on civilian cities, thus entering in the nuclear age, which we now live. So in 1947, a group of scientists created what's called the Doomsday Clock, in which they analyzed, based on world events and world climate, how close they determined we might be to midnight on the clock, midnight being doomsday, or the end of all mankind, due to the threat of nuclear holocaust. The clock has moved forward and backward 25 times since. And of January 25th, 2023, almost a year ago, they announced, they determined we were possibly 90 seconds away from midnight on the doomsday clock, or 90 seconds away from world annihilation. This does not take into account the current conflict in Israel, which has Christians and others alike asking if this means the beginning of the end. So it's very likely the announcement this year, which will probably come pretty soon, will be closer to midnight, if not substantially. So let's say it's 30 more seconds, about a minute. Globally, when it's about a minute to New Year's Eve, what do people do when you have like a minute left to midnight? It's so imminent, everyone stops what they're doing to prepare. They get their noisemakers ready. They get ready around the TV to watch the ball drop. They grab the loved one, you know, for a New Year's kiss or whatever, because it's about to happen. This is how imminent scientists predict how close the end of mankind is. But we don't really act like it, do we? Would you be surprised to know that the Bible is saying the exact same thing? It even predicted people would be going to and fro and just living their normal lives, and then sudden destruction. So what's going on? The difference when talking about the end in scripture, or what's called the apocalypse, it doesn't actually talk about the end of all mankind. It does talk about global catastrophes leading to an end of an age, not the end of humanity. The band REM in 1987 actually had it right with a song. The lyrics were, "It's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine." Scripture says that Christians should not fear these things and that they should feel fine, as each catastrophe wakes more and more people up to God. And when do people cry out to God typically? They do in war, when they're in the foxhole, when bombs are coming around them and bullets flying, when they're in an illness, a terminal illness, people cry out to God. When they have earthquakes, when they're having their own mini personal catastrophes, people across the globe cry out for mercy and to God. So it stands to reason global catastrophe would do the same thing globally. So world catastrophes would have people around the world crying out to God. And in scripture, the world doesn't end, it's renewed. So the coming doomsday in the Bible, or apocalypse, is about death, yes, but it's mercy and shaking people awake to get their life right before the end of this age and to be prepared for a new one to come. There's a new book out called We're in the End Game, Making Sense of the Coming Biblical Prophecies and Revelation by authors Paul and Christina Jayasinghe. And the book examines what the Bible says about the end times in the book of Revelation. And I'm very happy to have them here with us. Did I pronounce your last name right?
Yes.
You got it.
Okay. I was going to ask you ahead of time and I didn't. Welcome.
Thank you, Ken.
Thanks for having us, Ken.
Yes.
I'm really honored you're here. So in the, your book title, we're in the end game. So this is in, it's coming one day. You're saying we're in it. What makes you, according to Bible, and this is a revelation focused book, say with confidence the title of the book that we're in the end game when you look at the world?
So Ken, if you look at the Bible, not many people know this, but more than 25% of the Bible when it was written was prophetic. And you won't see this in any other scripture, but you'll see that in the Bible, more than 25% of that is prophetic. You see so many prophecies about Jesus, like 700 years ago before Jesus was born, prophets prophesied that Jesus is coming, and he fulfilled all of that. And then Jesus himself said that he will die and he'll rise again from the dead in 3 days, and he fulfilled that. And he said so many times that he talked about the end times. And then if you look at the end times, there's one particular thing. You know, people have been saying for many years that we are very close to the rapture. The rapture can happen anytime. We are at the end of the end times, right? But the birth of Israel signified that we are in the last generation. The Bible says when the fig tree blooms, you'll know that the end is near. You know, the time is near. Fig tree equates to the Israel, country of Israel. So when Israel was birthed as a nation in one day, and by the way, that was also prophesied in the Bible, how can a nation be born in one day? So Israel was born in one day, 1948. When Israel came into significance, that signified that we are the last generation. We are the generation that we will see the rapture happen in our generation, and we will see the second coming happen in our generation. And if you look at all the signs in Matthew chapter 24, we are at a stage where all the prophecies have been fulfilled, and there's nothing that needs to be fulfilled now for the coming of our Lord Jesus, the rapture. And that can happen anytime now.
Your book focuses primarily around Revelation. And one of my frustrations with the church in general is the lack of focus on Revelation and a lot of false, I wouldn't call them Christian denominations, I'd call them cults that wrap themselves in the name of Christ, sometimes focus on end time things to draw people in. And I think it's because we don't know and we want to know how are things going to end? Where are things going? But the evangelical church seems to have kind of done a poor job in that Revelation's too hard, it's too weird. We don't want to scare people away. It makes God look bad because of all these terrible things going on. Can you put a different spin on the importance of Revelation? Because I see it as a positive book, if not the gospel of Christ, reveals who Christ was, and we keep him as a hippie-looking guy in obscurity as a carpenter, but that reveals who he really is. Mm-hmm. And what he really came for and where we're really going.
Actually, you're right on, Ken. We don't, unfortunately, today, we don't spend too much time on the book of Revelation. Yeah. I did teaching series on my church on the book of Revelation. And the Bible says in Revelation 1:3, whoever reads this book, you'll be blessed. See, that's the first thing that Jesus gives to everybody who reads the book of Revelation. So if you haven't read the book of Revelation, I would say, please go read it, because Jesus himself said, if you read this book, you'll be blessed. And that's a promise that's not in any other book of the Bible, right? And as you mentioned, Ken, Revelation is the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, our God has got so much compassion, and he sees each and every one of our needs. He cares for each and every one of our needs. That's why he wrote the book of Revelation. He sent an angel to Apostle John, who was in the island of Patmos, and he made him write the book of Revelation based on what the angel told John. So Apostle John was just writing down what the angel told him to write down. And what you see throughout the book of Revelation is the love of Jesus towards each and every one of us, Ken. Even in the time of the Great Tribulation, by the way, for viewers who never heard of this, the next sequence of events is the rapture of the church, the ones who believe that Jesus died for our sins, who accept Jesus, the free gift of salvation that Jesus provides for each of us on the cross. When we accept it, we will be ready to go in the rapture, living a life that's pleasing to God. Yes. And then what happens is, after the rapture, there's a time of great suffering called the Great Tribulation. Jesus wrote about this in the book of Revelation, about the seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, the bowl judgments that are yet to come during the time of tribulation. That's a time of period of 7 years. And Jesus, you see throughout the book of Revelation, you see his love. He's reaching out to the people even during that time, asking them to repent and come to him. See, obviously, if we repent now, it's much more easier to accept Christ. But in the time of tribulation, if a person were to repent and accept the love of Jesus Christ, he or she will probably get killed. Because we see that the Antichrist will be ruling during that time. And the Bible says in the book of Revelation that everybody will have to get the mark of the beast. See, it's interesting, Ken. I'm in the technology field. I've been in the technology field for the last 25 plus years. We've never been in a place where we are so technically advanced, where with Internet of Things, artificial intelligence, big data, that we can actually trace people as they go about in this world. In fact, I did a project about 12 years ago. This was for an airport. We were actually tracing people as and when they come into the airport. I was with a big consulting firm. We were tracing people as and when they were coming into the airport using their cell phone MAC IDs. And if they had given their, if they signed up for the airport application, we would know exactly who that person is. And because of their preferences, right, we would know what their interests are. And when they walk past that big TV screen that you see on the airport, Ken, the advertisement that was playing there was specifically targeted for that individual. That's where we are at with technology. This was like 12 years ago, Ken. And I can, with enough capital, I can do that across the entire US. All I need is a lot of network routers, Internet of Things, connecting to the cloud. The Bible spoke about this 2,000 years ago, Ken.
Right.
That each and every transaction will be tracked, that we won't be able to buy or sell without the mark of the beast. It's amazing how our Lord Jesus had Apostle John write this 2,000 years ago. But also with television, you'll also read in the book about the two witnesses, right? They're here during the time of tribulation. No one can stop them. You know, God has given them that power. And the Bible says they'll be killed by the Antichrist and his followers. And when they're dead, the whole world will rejoice for like almost 3.5 days. And the Bible says they'll all be watching it. Imagine Apostle John was writing this 2,000 years ago from the island. There's no technology, nothing. TV hasn't been invented, obviously. The Bible talked about television and how the entire world will watch them. And how Jesus also wrote down the book of Revelation that he'll raise these two witnesses up back to him. It's an exciting book. You know, Revelation is an exciting book. Jesus has written it so that all of us will understand what's coming in the very near future. And he wants us to be ready. He wrote the book of Revelation so that all of us will understand the times that we are in, accept the love that Jesus provided for us on the cross. He died for your sins and my sins on the cross, and how he gives us the free offer of salvation. You know, his heart is aching. His heart is aching for his people to come and accept the love that he's given us. And then he's literally written that so that we understand that if we don't accept that, if we don't accept the love of Christ, if we ignore his love, if we live a life that's not pleasing to him and stay away from him, we will go through the Great Tribulation. And that's what the book of Revelation is. It's a beautiful book. I wish everybody will learn this and read that book.
Yeah, and I think you might agree that revelation. If people read it and they think it doesn't make sense, or it even shouldn't be part of the canon because it's so different, it really isn't. It's the Bible all wrapped up in a final book. Exactly. All it does is repeat tons of prophecies. It repeats the book of Daniel. It repeats, if you understand the Old Testament, it's just the revealing of everything already written. There's nothing new in it except what other stuff meant. And the symbolism, which seems weird, it's not even new symbolism. It's just laid out in a way that makes sense now. Mm-hmm. Right. And would you agree with this? And I've taught Revelation plenty of times, and you could go on weeks and weeks and have studies comparing. So, you know, you got to align Daniel with it, and it can get very complex. However, a very high-level simplistic view, I think, could be that the first part of it, there's letters to churches, really, of Christ, which pertain to all of us for all time.
Yes.
Our behavior and what we need to root out of the church or ourselves and to prepare for what's coming. Mm-hmm. To get our hearts right and get the church ready. But then it seems like two-thirds of it, the so-called complicated part that everyone gets wrapped up on, they seem to skip the first part, which we really need to listen to. Mm-hmm. They get wrapped up in the prostitute riding a dragon, and who is that, and what does that mean, and who's the Antichrist, and all this. When I think two-thirds of it are, if you weren't ready and you missed the rapture, the two-thirds now is for you, so you can pull it out, and or hopefully somebody taught you, or you have somewhere this information to say, this is what's happening, because if the what we call the pre-trib rapture, which you're referring to, that these tribulation times happen after the church is taken, that we don't actually see any of that, and it doesn't pertain to us, other than us in advance seeing what's going to happen and how it all comes together. But it looks like in the reality, real world practice, it's going to be for those who were going to church or weren't in church, weren't paying attention, and now they realize the world is just, all the Christians have left. They pull out their Bible, and now the last two-thirds is like a manual of what's happening. Because they're not going to know, there's no more Christian television left, or you guys left to write books to tell them. All that's left is this two-thirds of Revelation to explain what's happening in the world.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Right, Ken. I think, what do you talk about is really good, because if someone is watching this broadcast after the rapture, right, or you know, or people are hearing about this, they need to know that when a lot of folks get missing in this world very soon, and that's going to happen, because I believe we are that generation, we're going to see that happen. And when that happens, if folks here are listening to what we're talking right now, even if they don't believe us right now, when that even happens, mm-hmm. when they see a lot of the Christ followers just missing, and maybe the government comes and tells them, fabricates a story, I'm sure they'll come up with some very good plausible stories, right?
Yeah.
Let them realize that there is time for them to repent. There is time for them to call upon the Lord Jesus, because they would know for sure at that time, rapture is true. They've actually seen it happen. And now they can decide what they want to do with their lives. But at that point, Ken, as the book of Revelation says, they will have to pay with their life, most probably, when they accept Christ. See, now we're free. Thank God for America. We have so much freedom. We're able to worship freely. You know, that's a blessing that not many people in other countries have. Thank God for it. But when we enjoy that freedom is going to be gone after the rapture. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a place which is going to be ruled by the Antichrist and his armies. And if you don't get that chip on your hand or your forehead, you can't buy or sell. So that's going to be a time of great pain and suffering. And that's why we need to understand that as a body of Christ, we need to be spreading this word that these things are going to happen very soon. They are coming very soon. And then all the judgments are pending. So what's the best thing to do is to escape it, right? Escape it by the rapture. And if you're not able to do that, then that's going to be, we had to pay with our lives and accept Jesus at that time at a very costly price.
And also to add on to what Paul was saying, and also to tie up with what he was earlier sharing with us on the love of God during this time, right? So the love of God is amazing, into that extent of that he handpicks 144,000 Jewish men to go ahead and spread the gospel, even at the time of the tribulation.
So, are not the Jehovah's Witnesses?
No.
Oh, that's what they think, right? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so these are 144,000 Jewish men that God handpicks, and he puts a seal on them and anoints them and sends them to the ends of the earth for the gospel to be preached. So that is during the tribulation that is going to take place. So, yeah. So, I mean, I look at this book of Revelation as, like you said, it sums up as one final book of the Bible. And whenever I talk about this or read this book over and over again, I get super excited and I share it with all my friends. And not necessarily everybody is aligned with the same, Yeah. So everybody is like, oh, yeah, we don't need to talk about that because we know that we have to be good every single day. I get that, but there is a reason why God wrote this book, because we as children of God, we don't want to be missed in this great rapture. You know, that's a party we do, every Christian don't want to miss. So I take that as, I love to watch the signs and I love to analyze, you know, what's happening around us. There is a reason why God has given this book. There is nothing wrong with, looking for signs, and because the whole world, you know, like everything happens with signs and wonders in the spiritual realm. So I'm excited about this book and about Revelation altogether.
And Ken, I think that's a good point that Tina brought up, right? Throughout the book of Revelation, what you see is the revelation of God's love and compassion for all of us. Mm-hmm. Even though a child, a son or a daughter of God may be living a life that's not pleasing to God, you may have refused to have a relationship with him. After the rapture happens, even during that time, you see the love of Christ mm-hmm. reflected. As Tina said, Revelation 14 talks about how there are 144,000 Jewish men who God has reserved to go spread the gospel in the last days. Think of Apostle Paul, Ken. He's a Jewish apostle, Jewish disciple who preached the gospel, who wrote half of the book of the New Testament, right? Half of the books of the New Testament was written by one single Jewish apostle. God has reserved 144,000 Apostle Pauls
right.
for the time of tribulation. He really wants his message.
About, yes,
exactly.
The gospel.
And then the Bible also, Revelation also talks about, he uses three angels, Ken, to go spread the gospel even during that time. The love of God, he's reaching out to people even during the time of tribulation. Mm-hmm. That's the heart of God. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He doesn't want his kids to go through this tribulation. He doesn't want all of us, any one of us, to go to hell. But I think the devil has deceived a lot of people that we don't realize that what a great gift our Lord has provided us. And then we just ignore that wonderful gift.
Yeah. I was talking to somebody somewhat recently, and I quoted something Jesus says in Revelation, and he said, well, I'm Orthodox. We don't pay attention. He didn't say pay attention, but we don't study Revelation. Mm-hmm. And I didn't say it, but I thought, you know what? What if it was labeled, not Revelation, but the gospel according to Jesus? Could you say, I'm not interested in that book? Because mm-hmm. that's what it is. This is the gospel according to Jesus. He already had four versions of his first coming. This is his version of what he's doing at his second coming. And we neglect it as like a side novelty or something that doesn't fit, or it's too hard or strange. You know, one thing, this is just a side note. When I was a kid in church, the movies were popular. One was like A Thief in the Night. Mm-hmm. That would be the tribulation period and your neighbors turn you into the anti, you miss the rapture and the neighbors will turn you into the Antichrist. And then you, they're standing in line to get their heads chopped off, but they'll go into heaven. And I remember thinking, getting your heads chopped off, like what in the world? This isn't like the barbarian days or, you know, some queen from hundreds of years ago that we don't like and we chop her head off. That's not going to happen. It's going to be different. Look at the age we're living in.
Exactly.
In the world, if you're a Christian or a Jew, in you get your head chopped off, literally.
Yes. Yeah.
It's amazing that, I mean, even in the 70s, I thought, well, that's not going to happen in the modern world. It'll be something different. Mm. It's not. It looks totally feasible now.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah. Especially with what happened in October 7 in Israel. Right. The times that we're living in, it's very, very much the end days.
Yeah. And so, in speaking of thief of the night, you know, I've heard that term my whole life. Well, we don't know when he's coming because he comes like a thief in the night. Of course, it's true. It's from scripture. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if I've ever heard anyone add the next scriptures that says, but not to us because we're of the light. And it's kind of what you're saying is, he comes at a time and a day we don't know it, but we know a season.
Exactly.
And those who are in the light know the season, mm-hmm. and it's not going to be a surprise. And you're able to write a book. We're in the end game, where there's been this like cloud in Christendom where we don't need to talk about it or be that bold about it because he comes like a thief in the night. We'll never know. No, he comes to a thief in the night of those living in darkness who aren't looking for his approach or coming. And then he commands us to look for his coming, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yes. So to sum this up, I have people that listen to this podcast that are believers and they're really into Bible studies. This might spawn for them some material, like we should study the book of Revelation, and they'll bring it in and they'll get your book and whatever. I have other people that are church-going people and Christian people, but they're not really that much into Bible study, and they listen because I hit little different topics they never thought about. And I have this whole, if not larger, group that aren't Christian at all.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I have, so I don't know if you do shout-out. Shout-out to the Buddhists and the New Age listening right now. Because I try to present this information in a non-judgmental way, but in a loving way.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the scope of people you're talking to. So if you could somehow summarize what you started to when you did, is that scripture has had hundreds of prophecies that have been fulfilled. That is the litmus test to why we should believe the rest of the prophecies that haven't been fulfilled yet.
Mm-hmm.
Beginning in 1948, I think it's May 14th or something, when Israel became a nation again, that was the trigger, according to scripture, Old Testament prophecies, that the rest of the prophecies would happen within that generation.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the revelation and some other prophecies given around what's called the end of the age happen within this now short time period, even though it's been 2,000 years since Christ. So there'd be a who knows how long gap of time.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see Israel come back, that's the trigger point that the rest is going to happen. And we're well into that. Everything's fallen into place where I tell people whenever I teach Revelation, I say it looks imminent, but even if it's not, you're still meeting Christ in a very short time.
Mm-hmm.
So don't put off the warnings because you could be dead today.
Right.
And if not, depending on your age, you've only got a certain amount of years left. You're still meeting Christ. It doesn't matter if it's 500 years from now. For you, it's going to be, it's still imminent. It's still in your generation. It's in your lifetime that you're going to meet Christ.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So all the warnings about getting right with God and whatnot pertain to us right now. As far as the end of the world or the end of the age, how could you wrap up outside of specifics of the two witnesses and the 144,000 and the coming Antichrist? For those outside, is there like a simple framework that's like a 60-second, two-minute framework that you could put in, like we talked about this and here, kind of this and there, what they're to expect? So if you don't really know any of that teaching, Christian or not,
But you're looking at the world and you're like, oh my goodness, this Ukraine-Russia thing could get out of hand and there could be nuclear holocaust. Now in Israel, there could be nuclear holocaust. We've got two of them going on at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So these scientists looking at the world saying we're seconds away from the end of all mankind. And then there's earthquakes and there's famines and there's so much that I think we block it out so that we can just live our day-to-day life and go to work and take care of our kids. You kind of have to do that, where it becomes not real. But it is real.
Mm-hmm.
What is a summary that we need to get out of it? Maybe it's not, maybe it's a timeline of, well, this here's what is to expect, and all you need to, like, go study Revelation. That'd be great. Find a good class or a teacher, read your book. And or what is just the main message we need to get besides the specifics of Revelation, that these are the times we're living in?
Hmm.
What, like, before this episode ends and somebody's listening, what do I need to take away from this? What is the most important thing?
Ken,
information.
Ken, what I would say is, I like the words of Reinhard Bonnke. You know, he said, there is a very thin line between life and death. And you and I, at any given second, we can just pass over that line to go to die, right? It's a very fine line. The Bible says it is appointed for a man, a woman, to face death and then face judgment. And the Bible also says Jesus is the only way. There is no other way. There's only one way to salvation, to God the Father. And there is a heaven and a hell. And I want all your viewers who are listening to think through this in a very intelligent manner. If there is life after death, and you see my book and you see the Bible, there's thousands of prophecies have been fulfilled. The statistical probability of all those prophecies being fulfilled is one to some unimaginable number, which basically in scientific terms, it's a fact. So the Bible is a fact. And Bible says that there's heaven and hell. And the decision that we make today, who knows, this might be your last day today. Some of you who are listening to me, this might be your last day. This may be the last opportunity that you have to receive Jesus. You know, Jesus died for your sins and my sins. He died on the cross 2,000 years ago. He rose again 3 days later. And now he's in heaven, he's sitting at the right hand of God the Father. And he accepts, he gives us this free gift of salvation. He said, call upon me and you'll be saved. Find a Bible-believing church, read the Bible and talk to him, because we're truly in the last days and the rapture can happen anytime. Rapture is nothing but all of Christ's followers being taken away in a second. So I would leave that with you. I would urge you, as Jesus said to everybody, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all nations, that whosoever believeth will be saved. And if you're not believing, you'll be condemned, you're going to hell. And that's a very clear message. And you need to make a decision for your own life. It's your eternity that's in balance. You have to make this decision to accept the free gift of salvation that Jesus provides.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Christina.
Thanks, Ken.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Gathered among the outlaws, he said, come, follow me. People from all walks of life since have been becoming outlaws.